Two Sundays ago, we began a new series that we've titled, Where Is It Written? And I just want to begin with a little different passage, just to continue our introduction before we jump into the heart of some of the specific topics. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17, Paul writes this to young Timothy as he has grown in his faith and maturity and responsibilities as a leader in the early church. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is God's word. We began 2 weeks ago thinking about our relationship to the scriptures. We are people of the book, and we are people of the book that focuses on the person of Jesus. And our relationship to Scripture and God's Word is paramount to who we are and how we are to live our lives. And we looked at Dane Ortlund, who reminded us of kind of an analogy of optometry, of all things, that our understanding of how the Word of God applies to all of us in our lives is called hermeneutics. And it's basically the lens by which you understand and interpret God's word. It's the lens you look with and through. And hermeneutics is basically the art of interpretation. It's really looking at God's word, whether you're starting in Genesis or even this week for my devotions and prayer time, I was listening through parts of Job. And here you have, and we forget this, but a very, very ancient text, right? Millennium old, that by God's grace has been preserved for us and then translated, and now we have it on our Bible apps and the Bibles in front of us and at home. And sometimes we forget how ancient this text is, the scriptures. And we need to ask ourselves, how am I, a person living in modern Western times, removed by thousands of years from when this was originally written, how are we supposed to understand this ancient text? How can it really be relevant from not only a gulf of time span, but culturally and nationally so different from the life that I live in? Hermeneutics is that way by which we try to understand, how do we interpret, how do we read this book called the Bible? Once again, whether it's the book of Job or Psalm or Genesis or Revelation or 2 Timothy that we just read. And so 2 weeks ago, we talked about basing this introduction from 2 weeks ago and then today from Scott McKnight's book, The Blue Parakeet. And we shared how the blue parakeet is defined as from a story in his own life. As avid bird watchers, they were observing the birds in their backyard, and they caught this flash of blue, and they were fascinated. They didn't know what to do with it, and eventually they realized it was probably my escaped parrot from my childhood, parakeet, that was roaming around, and they said, oh, it's just a parakeet. Yes, it's weird. It raised a lot of questions, but once they figured it out, they kind of dismissed it. But in actuality, he began to realize that so much of Scripture is like that. We come across verses, passages, chapters, books of the Bible that sometimes are very unexpected, sometimes actually quite disturbing, at times very shocking, and we can very easily just kind of dismiss it and say, well, whatever, it's an ancient book and what have you, but he really challenged us in his experience of observing this blue parakeet himself, that when chance encounters with blue parakeet passages in the Bible happen to come our way, we are actually given an opportunity to learn, observe, and explore. And I found that that analogy, thus kind of the theme of this book, was very, very relevant and challenging. We also talked about how when we often say we believe all of God's word, and some of us grew up with this phrase, God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. And on one level, I resonate with that. But Scott McKnight really is trying to challenge us with maybe for some an upsetting or disturbing reality, which I would agree with, that none of us follows all of the Bible. And at the same time, we all pick and choose parts of Scripture to follow, apply, study in our lives. And so for anyone that says we believe everything in the Bible, we practice whatever the Bible says, he blatantly said, hogwash. That's not true. And so we looked at a few examples. Sabbath is a Saturday. We certainly, for a lot of us, don't treat that as our holy day. And of course, some of you are thinking, well, that was Old Testament, but hold on there. We see very specific instructions for tithing to the Lord and his work, and every few years there's tithes on top of that. Sometimes it could be 30-40%. How many of us are practicing that, if we're very honest? How many of us are truly, even of the hard-earned dollars that are in our pockets, give to the alien, the fatherless, the suffering, the marginalized? Jesus said, I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I've given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. It can't get much clearer than that, but how many of us have washed one another's feet? Ooh, that would be kind of nasty, right? How many of us have recently done that when Jesus specifically says that what I've done, you should also do? We all pick and choose. As far as I could tell, unless you maybe walked here to church, all of us had some kind of vehicle, transportation. Jesus says, unless you sell all that you have, then come after me. And so there is an understanding that throughout the ages, and those who call themselves followers of Jesus, they have read the Bible. They read it differently. And as much as whatever tradition you have grown up with or would resonate today or here as a covenant church, no one tradition or group or denomination gets it all right. There is plenty of picking and choosing that we do. And so what we really want to do over the next couple of weeks is really ask ourselves this question then: how are we to really live out the Bible today? And I know that's hard to admit that we're being accused of picking and choosing. Or, probably a better phrase, is we all adopt and then we adapt. And so whether we see in Scripture a prohibition against men having longer hair or women having shorter hair or the wearing of jewelry or what have you, we begin to understand, okay, you have a point here, Pastor, and this has kind of perked my interest. And so what I wanted to do with just the remaining time today is talk about three things in Blue Parakeet that will be very foundational as we begin our journey starting next Sunday, in beginning to take this understanding of how do we interact with God's word in some of the more challenging topics that we wrestle with today as a church here in America, especially here in New England and here in Manchester. And so this is very helpful. I wish I would have come across this years ago when I was much younger in my faith and even younger as a pastor. And some of you will say, well, you know, this is not groundbreaking, but in many ways it really is. The way that he has summarized these three ways how we, all of us, tend to read the Bible. And so whether you are one who has read the Bible dozens of times, cover to cover, and have been in Bible study for years and years and years, or maybe you're someone that has never even read through the Bible once, cover to cover, and you don't know where you are in your faith, this will apply to us all. And so, first thing is this. One of the ways by which we tend to read the Bible is what he has labeled reading to retrieve. Reading to retrieve. And this is how he defines it. It means going back to the Bible, going back to Bible times, in order to retrieve biblical ideas and practices for today. And many of us, we equate, well, I believe in God's word, so that means I have to retrieve it all. And I do believe that a lot of us, at some point in our life, fall into this descriptive of reading the Bible in this kind of way, or we are still doing it today, reading to retrieve. And we've kind of alluded to it already in the early part of even this morning's message. You're reading the scripture. The Israelites leave some of their crops so that the poor can glean from them. And so we have to find a way to leave some of our leftover crops. But some of us have never even planted a seed in our whole life. What do we do about that? Jesus washed feet. Take off your shoes and socks right now. I'm going to wash your feet right now. Paul spoke in tongues, so we should speak in tongues too. Paul says women should not adorn themselves with gold or fine jewelry, so we should make sure that women do not do that. It's in the Bible. Paul says women should be silent in the church, and so we will practice that, and they need to be silent in today's church. And you begin to see this problem emerge with this approach, that it really is impossible to try to live out a, and in this case, we're specifically talking about the New Testament, the epistles, but let alone the Old Testament, to live in the first century or even in Old Testament times as modern people. I do believe that the goal and vision of our relationship with God's word is not to copy everything verbatim that the people did in it. Not even the Apostle Paul did this, and I think he's a pretty smart guy, pretty godly guy. He did not even try to enforce Old Testament practices on the early church. Reading to retrieve. And so this is what he says. This is extremely helpful. We'll put it up on the screen. What we have in the pages of the New Testament are first century expressions of the gospel and church life, not permanent, timeless expressions. We aren't called to live first century lives in the 21st century, but 21st century lives as we walk in the light of the revelation God gave to us in the first century. Once again, 2 weeks ago when we began this, I also predicated the message that some of you will be a little upset by what I'm sharing in this series. Some of you, it will rub the wrong way. Some of you will question, has our pastor gone off the deep end? Does he really believe the Bible? And I do. I do believe it is God's word. But I ask that you will withhold your emails and judgments until we get through the series, because the different building blocks of what we're trying to do and accomplish in this series will be built up week after week as we practically try to apply some of these principles. So if some of this is sounding accusatory or upsetting to you, good, kind of. Hang in there, okay? And I really love how he put it. This was so great. It's so simple, but so great to flesh what he's saying is this. God spoke in Moses' day in Moses' way. God spoke. Do we have a slide for this? Yes. God spoke in Job's days in Job's ways. God spoke in David's days in David's ways. He spoke in Jeremiah's day in Jeremiah's ways, and he spoke in Jesus' day in Jesus' ways, and he spoke in Paul's days in Paul's ways, and he spoke in Peter's days in Peter's ways, and he spoke in John's days in John's ways. And that might be upsetting to some of you, but for some, there will be this weight that begins to lift as it begins to make sense as we try to answer this question: how are we to properly relate and interpret and understand and apply? How do we adapt the scriptures to our lives? And I really believe that he hit the nail on the head. This is great. God spoke to Moses in Moses' day in Moses' ways. It's not monolithic how God spoke and communicated with people, whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the Exodus, whether it's in the days in first century Palestine, when it's in the days of the early church and the Apostle John as he's exiled on the island of Patmos. It's the same God, it's the same gospel, it's the same plan of redemption, but he speaks in the days in which that word was given, in the ways by which the people could best understand, because he is a God that loves us and desires to help us understand him, his heart, and his love for us and plan for the world. God spoke in Moses' day in Moses' way, and we can make a strong case for Solomon, Jeremiah, Jesus, Paul, Peter, John, and so on. Secondly, not only do we come across this challenge of reading to retrieve, but reading through tradition. Reading through tradition. I need to elaborate a little bit on this so as for it to not to be overly confusing. Reading through tradition, according to Scott McKnight, means that our tradition, our church, our personal preferences, our denominational affiliation, our lenses, our upbringing, all that is part of our tradition, becomes the ultimate determiner of how we understand the Bible. And whether you want to admit that or not, if you grew up in a Roman Catholic church, you are going to look at Scripture, and it will probably stay with you the rest of your life in a certain and particular way. If you grew up Methodist or Charismatic, or in my case, Reformed Presbyterian or Baptist or non-denominational, what have you, there is a tradition by which you look at scriptures. That is your lens. And this is in contrast, and not to be confused with what he calls the great tradition, or the tradition of the church universal, the great tradition, which can be called orthodoxy. That over 2,000 years of church and ministry and theologians and men and women of God who have studied the scriptures, there has emerged what we call an orthodox understanding. Not Greek orthodox, but orthodox, as in there are certain commonalities and themes and realities that over the course of the entire 2,000 years of the church that we have landed on. And I believe we in the covenant have landed on those things correctly expressed by our affirmations and our understanding of scripture. That's what we call the great tradition. And so whether we are ready to admit that or not, many of us look at scripture from probably a combination of the great tradition, Christian orthodoxy, but also the traditions by which we grew up under. And there's both good things about that and things that aren't so great about that. McKnight says this: the problem with this approach is that it creates a rigid, inflexible faith that is almost impossible to experience renewal, adaptation to changing circumstances. I'm guilty of this as well, coming from a strict, five-point Calvinistic Reformed tradition. It's so hard when you have a tradition, an understanding of Scripture, to allow room for blue parakeets to emerge that really challenge your interpretation. Everything is seen as, this is what my tradition is, and these Scripture verses are proof texts to affirm my school of thought on the Bible. And so this is how he describes it. And is this resonating with some of us? That, hey, I think that's kind of me. We read the Bible, we confront a current issue, we make a decision, like baptizing infants or adults, or we frame what we believe into a confession or a creed or a doctrinal statement. And what we do when we fall into traditionalism is then we, and I love this term he uses, we fossilize our decision, and it becomes a tradition. And we're bound by that tradition forever, he says. Now it becomes traditionalism. And so we are bound to read the Bible, he says, through our tradition, our traditionalism. And anyone that questions that, they're suspect. Or worse, they're kicked out of the church, saying they don't understand and believe. And we could begin to talk about so many applications and examples, probably from my life and from yours, that exemplifies, this is me. I have a traditionalism because of the upbringing and my encounter with the Bible, and so anything that doesn't fit into that system can't possibly be interpreted in that way. This is the say-all, end-all, be-all, is my interpretive lens. In these past few years and coming into the Covenant denomination, my traditionalism of Reformed Calvinistic faith, though the core is still there, much of it has been challenged. And in some ways, I feel I've been set free and begin to really examine my views on women in ministry and so many other things. For time's sake, let's move on quickly. Finally, third way we often look at Scripture is reading with tradition. This is different than what we just went over for the second one of reading through tradition. Reading with tradition is this. Reading with tradition means, we'll put this up on the screen, we adapt the Bible's teachings to the new conditions we face in a way that is consistent with and faithful to the Bible. And we do this holding up what we call the grand or the great tradition of Christian history and the way the church has understood Scriptures that we call, this is Christian orthodoxy. This is the third way by which we relate and interpret the Bible, reading with tradition. And Scott McKnight really is trying to encourage us and challenge us to see this third way as, I believe, the most healthiest. We need to go back to the Scriptures in order to move forward through the church and speak God's word in our days and in our ways. This is a huge difference compared to reading for retrieval or reading through tradition. Reading with the great tradition. Every generation of the church is summoned by God, he says, to the Bible to listen so that we can discern a pattern for living the gospel that is appropriate in our days, in our ways. And this process is captured in one word, discernment. Discernment. Discernment can be downright messy. It can involve strong emotions. It involves hard work. But I believe that when we understand we are called to discernment, not just me and God in my room having a quiet time, but with the community of other believers in the context of the great tradition of the church, orthodoxy, and going back to God's word, we are asking God to speak to us through that messy process. And as we do that, I believe that we can properly and best understand God's word. He says, this is great, and we'll get ready to wrap up. Our task is to take the timelessness, advance the slide there, the timelessness of the Bible and make it timeliness for our world. He says, what we need is not a return to the first or fourth or, oh, hurt my heart, the 16th century or the 18th century, but a fresh blowing of God's Spirit on our culture, in our day, in our ways. We need 21st century Christians living out the biblical gospel in 21st century ways. Sometimes we need to not only look at the text, but behind the text, he says, to grasp the timeless principle. And the principle is sometimes more important than the doing of the actual words. What is the truth, the principle that is timeless, that doesn't change? But lived out will look a little bit different with each generation, each culture, each ethnic group, each worldview. It's hard work. It's much easier to say, this is what God's word says. I believe it. I follow it. That's it. But discernment will actually drive you back to the word of God. In a way that as you confront these blue parakeets and you also admit that, you know what, I do pick and choose. I don't know the last time I washed someone else's feet or spoke in tongues or prophecies or grew my hair long as a man or cut my hair shorter or wore jewelry or what have you. Once we begin to understand I do pick and choose and we alone are not the arbiter of truth based on your tradition or your upbringing, as we begin to ask those questions, I believe that through communal discernment, that's a word I have learned a lot being in the covenant, communal discernment, we begin to really go back to God's word. And we begin to ask the right questions as we have seen God do to speak in Moses' days and Moses' ways, in Isaiah and Jeremiah and David. Hey, you went out of order. Matthew, Paul, John, Jesus. And so next Sunday, I would like to take some of these truths and ideas and talk about marriage and divorce. And so how's that to kick off a topic that I don't know if anyone will be interested in, marriage and divorce and remarriage, but let's talk about it. God help me as we jump into that. And so, brothers and sisters, none of us have figured out the Bible completely. We are all on a journey and we need to understand it, and it is God's word. It is so important. And as we begin to ask some of these questions and be challenged in the ways, maybe in different ways, that we have not understood hermeneutically, that there are opportunities for us to ask when these blue parakeets arise. I pray that as we do that, we will be driven back to the Word of God. We will grow in the Word of God, and our lives will be different because of God's Word and the living Word, our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we will meet and encounter. So with that, will you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for this opportunity to begin a new series. And Lord, this is a sensitive one because it challenges our understanding of scriptures and interpretation and application, and is something that we really ask humbly that you would grant us your wisdom, your discernment, your leading, as we really ask ourselves, what is God's word? What does it say? How does it relate to my life? How does it speak to the real issues and challenges of our day and time? And so, Lord, I pray that no matter what our relationship is with the Bible, or maybe we've never even really read it, that we would grow, that we would encounter the living God who speaks to humanity through his written word. And who desires to communicate his plan of redemption through the person of Jesus. And so, Lord, be with us over the next couple of weeks. Be with us, Lord, as we tackle on marriage and divorce and remarriage, as that really strikes a very powerful emotional chord with many of us here, even today, whether we are married, whether we have been divorced. Grant us your grace as we try our best to navigate through a period of discernment and learning. Speak to us because we believe in your word, and it speaks to all of us in today's time. In the name of Jesus, amen.